I like doing baby dedications. I like doing weddings. I just don't want any funerals. No more funerals, please. Those are not as enjoyable. Pray for Jen. She's sick today. She's not here with me. Miss having her and her support and her ministry, but she's not here. Today, I want to take a look at the wrong ways to worship. Wrong ways to worship. One wrong way to worship is by being late to church, amen? And those of you who were early are saying amen. The rest of you, I want to just encourage you once again to make every effort to make our worship of our Lord a priority. And when we set the time to come, to be there, and to be anticipating that we're going to hear from God today. We're here to worship God. We're here to hear what He has to say to us today. Make it a priority. It is important. And of all your meetings in the week, just stick this one up there. Up there at the top saying, this is a priority to me. Be on time. Be there on time. There are wrong ways to worship, and I just want to remind us all to be careful that we don't allow worship to be just something we do. To be just something that we do without even thinking. And every time I talk about worship in such a manner, you know, I think about when I was a child and hearing old songs that we sang every week and growing up thinking certain things. In the song, The Old Rugged Cross. How many of you know The Old Rugged Cross? We ought to sing that. The Old Rugged Cross. The chorus says something about, till at last, till my trophies, at last I lay down. And I grew up singing this every week, and I never understood the concept, because when I was 10, 11, I played football for a while, and I had some trophies from playing football with my team. And I always wondered, how is that? Why does God want me to plop them over and lay them down? And you know, I never understood the reasoning behind laying down my trophies. And of course, you know, other words that get misconstrued. There was a time when I used to think singing Hosanna, they were singing Oh Santa. You know, there was some Christmas song to Santa Claus, Oh Santa. Sang a song at church, I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. And there was a time that I had misconstrued that, thinking I will make you vicious old men if you followed me. So the things that go on in our minds, when we sing these without even thinking, it's funny as a kid, but man, when you get older and you're doing the same kinds of things, it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. And I think in our Christian walk, in adult ways, we often just go through meaningless motions without even thinking about it. And I've been guilty of this. I've been guilty. I'm not standing before you as one who is pointing fingers. I've been guilty. I've been so guilty, in fact, that I remember one evening, now I was tired, granted, but one evening I went up to my boys' room and I say prayers with them together as we do. And when it was my time to pray, I put my hand on their heads and I said, Lord, thank you for the food that we're about to eat. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. And I didn't even think about what on earth I was saying and what I was doing. Anybody else done that? Is it just me again? All alone. And that's okay. That's okay. I mean, I don't think God's going to strike me with a lightning bolt. I think He understands our human frailties at times. But it does wake me up and remind me, Ken, what are you doing? You know, when I lead the family around the dinner table and say, let's pray, what am I doing? Am I teaching them? Am I really helping them to focus on the goodness of God, on His provision? Or am I just teaching them to mindlessly go through motions without thinking? What is it that I'm teaching? Let me give you a few things. I don't know if they're on your notes, but a few things that worship is not. Just now, these things that I'm going to give you can be a part of worship, tools of worship. But don't get mixed up of what worship actually is. Worship is not singing songs or hymns or reading the scriptures. These can be useful tools in worship. But it's like saying, you know, taking a look at a beautiful painting and saying that art is all about the paint itself. It's not. The paint, the brushes, these are tools that are used to make something beautiful. And just like the songs that we sing, and I appreciate the music, and Yao does a fine job. Thank you, Yao, for that. Team, you guys, you know, working with him, you do a fine job. And singing these songs and singing with you guys, this is one of my favorite times, is when we're together and with a loud voice we can sing. But these are tools of worship. It's not worship itself. Worship is not about meetings. Otherwise, worship becomes something that we do once or twice a week. What time is your worship? Oh, our worship's at 9:30. That means that worship is a meeting. And that's not what it's intended to be either. The Bible tells us that worship is something that should be a part of our lives all the time. 24/7, I want to worship the Lord. And it doesn't mean I got to be in this room 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and singing with the band here. But I need to worship the Lord. Let me give you a couple aspects to worship. Couple aspects. First of all, worship is my heart's response to God. My heart's response to God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. And second, worship is also lining up my life in accordance with His character and will. So as I become more and more like Christ, more and more like Him all the time, and as I'm lining up my life and my passions and my love and my hates, the things that I love and I'm passionate about, the things that I dislike and I want nothing to do with, as I'm lining them up with God and His will and His Word, my life is an act of worship to God. As I'm leading my family to God, as I'm leading them to know Him and know Him better, my life is an act of worship to Him. Everyone worships. Amen? Everyone worships. People outside of this church this morning, they worship. Everyone will worship. We will worship something. The question is always, what is our object of worship? What is our object? Very few truly worship God. And maybe among us in here, there are some who do not understand this concept of worship. And I'm not here to be your judge. That's not my place. I don't know your hearts. I don't know what's inside. But I am here to give you God's Word this morning. And I'm asking you this morning to allow God to show you. To allow God to show you what's going on inside. Are you worshiping God from the inside? Or is worship being something that you do when you come to church? Will you ask God to look into your heart, to examine your heart? And will you give Him that permission? If you will do that, pray with me right now. Father in heaven, I want to come before You right now without any pretense, not trying to impress You, not trying to impress people around me. But Father, I pray that at this time You would have total freedom to look inside of me. Lord, am I worshiping You with my life? Is there anything that is not very pretty that You want to get rid of? I give You permission, Lord, to speak to me, to examine me. Give me the strength and courage to accept some of the things that You speak to me about and to change them, to give them to You, to repent, to confess, to come back to You, to come back to the heart of worship. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Why is this so important? Because I believe that the chief reason that you are here, the main reason that you are created, is to worship God. And if you go through your life and you do not get this, you do not understand this, then you're going to waste a life. You're going to waste your life. You're going to waste your reason, your purpose. You were made to worship God. You were made to worship Him. Throughout the Bible, we see people with a record of worshiping God. Starts all the way back. We see Abel bringing his lambs in sacrifice to God. From there it goes on. We see Abraham on Mount Moriah with Isaac. Throughout the Psalms, you see David worshiping the God in every psalm. Every psalm. The disciples, as they followed Jesus, their life was a life of worship. And I want my life to be that kind of life. And so today, I could just look at some positive ways of worshiping, but I would like to take a moment and look at some ways not to worship. Some things that we can cross off of our list and say, this is not worship. This is not the right way to worship. Let's take a look at the first way together. The first way is geographically. Geographically. In the book of John chapter 4, we have the story of Jesus sitting down, speaking to a woman at a well. And they get the conversation going, and Jesus is trying to explain to her some truths. Now, first of all, this woman is a Samaritan woman, which is a no-no for any Jew to talk to. Second, she's a woman, which is a no-no for any Jewish man to talk to. But Jesus came because God so loved the world. He came because He loved her. He loved the world. In John chapter 4, verse 20, the woman says, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. We say we worship here. You guys say we worship over here in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." Neither place. And the truth is, people put a lot of emphasis on places of worship. On places of worship. Now, I often hesitate to call this room that we're in a sanctuary. You know where that word sanctuary comes from? What does it mean? What's the word that it comes from? Sounds like what? Sanctified. Okay? Not a bad concept. The idea, by the way, what does sanctified mean? Okay, set apart for exclusive use. So the idea is that this is the sanctuary. That means it's set apart for use in worshiping God. So it's not a bad term, but often it's so mysterious and people get the impression that you cannot worship God anywhere except in the sanctuary. And that's not a good concept. That's not a good concept. For many years, well, this church started off meeting in living rooms. We met in John Felton's living room for a while, didn't we, John? Down in that basement, that smelly, damp, wet basement. No, it wasn't that smelly and wet and damp. But listen, that was a place of worship. Amen? Was anyone else there? Ethel, of course. Miss Ethel here was here. Okay? We worshiped God there. Later we met at the Howard Community Center. We met in a couple places over there. One was a huge upstairs area. And, you know, it was far bigger than this room, and a handful of us met in this little, right in the middle of this place. And it was noisy, and it was often dirty, and we had to clean it up. But you know what? We worshiped the Lord there. It didn't matter where we were. We met at the Operatic Society. That was the craziest place. The stage was like here, except all the seats went straight up. And so the back row was way up there somewhere. But you know what? We worship God there. We finally got a facility down the road at Meadowlands. Raise your hand if you were in that building at Meadowlands. A few of you. Okay, we were in Meadowlands. God allowed us to build that structure. And I don't mind telling you, it's one of the ugliest structures I've seen. I never liked that building. It always reminded me of a Sherman tank. And I had that big metal roof and rivets everywhere, and it just looked bulletproof. I never liked it. But I tell you what, it didn't matter. It was a place that God allowed us to grow, and that God allowed us to develop, to mature a bit more. But we can worship God anywhere. Mormons revere Independence, Missouri, and Salt Lake City as special revered places where God is more real and present. Muslims revere a city. What's that city's name? Very good, Mecca. And a few other holy places, but Mecca being the chief. Catholics revere Rome, the Vatican. But as Christians, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 that we're looking for a different city. Not a city made with hands, but a city in heaven. We're looking for a heavenly city, a place not here. This is just a passing area. And we can worship God anywhere. We can worship God in a garage somewhere. And it does not matter. And maybe we should try doing that sometime. Don't worry about the where as much as the who you are worshiping. And how it is being done. Who are we worshiping? How are we worshiping? The second thing, the second wrong way is ignorantly. Ignorantly. We cannot worship God ignorantly. John 4:22. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, Jesus says, for salvation is from the Jews. He says to her, you're trying to worship God, but you're not doing it based on truth. You're doing it based on human ideas and understanding, and that doesn't cut it. Whenever we come to God, it must be His way or no way. We don't make up our own design and our own ways and what we think will please God and all these rituals and customs. We must take a look. God, what do you want us to do? How can I worship you? In the book of Acts 17, we have Paul speaking to the men at Athens in Greece. And he says in verse 23, as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Now what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. He walks around Athens and he sees statue after statue, idol after idol, and under each one was the name of this god and what they were supposed to be the god of. And just to make sure that they covered all their bases, they had another statue or another shrine and a plaque that read to the unknown god, the one that we have not made up yet, the one that we have never met yet. And he says, basically, you guys are trying to worship God ignorantly. Ignorantly. You're trying to make up God yourselves. And it's not up to us to make up God. It's up to us not to create God, but to discover Him. To discover who He is. To discover what He has said, what He has done. And to worship Him in spirit and in truth. His truth. His way. There are people today who do not know the God of heaven. They're ignorant of God. They're ignorant of anything to do with God. And people stare for hours through telescopes and microscopes and studying His handiwork, studying the things about the Creator, but they don't know a thing about the Creator Himself. People come up with superstitions, they come up with theories, but they miss who God really is. This is one of the worst ways to worship God. Blindly, ignorantly, stumbling through things. And that's why God gave us the Bible. That's why God gave us His Word, so that we can know Him. He didn't want us to stumble around in ignorance. He wanted us to know what He is like. Know His character. Know His loves, His likes, His dislikes. Know His passion, know His heart. And I want to say one more thing in regards to worshiping God ignorantly. The truth is, sincerity is not enough. Amen? It's not enough to be totally sincere. And I believe in our world today that there are lots of very sincere people. We have missions work in India. We have missionaries that we support going through India, establishing new churches, telling people about Christ. And there's lots of superstition. There's lots of religion there. And I want to tell you, there's lots of sincerity as well. But sincerity is not enough. It's not enough to be sincere about something and let that make any difference. We can be sincere, but we can also be very sincerely wrong about something. We can worship God ignorantly. Next, we can worship God religiously. According to traditions instead of according to the Word of God. One of the things that our vision statement says in the back is that this church is supposed to be a place of life, the abundant life that Christ spoke of, not a place which focuses on the religious rituals and customs. We're to be a place where lives are genuinely and truly transformed by the goodness of Christ. That's part of our vision. That's part of the kind of church that we want to be. And to worship God religiously without worshiping Him in here, it's not going to cut it. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. It's not something that I want to settle for. And I hope that you're here today and you're saying the same thing. I don't want to settle for religious kind of worship. However beautiful it may be, being beautiful is not enough. Symbolism is not enough. Matthew chapter 15, Jesus had some words to say to people who worship God religiously. He had some things to say. He said, "You hypocrites." He's talking to the Pharisees, the religious people who focused on all kinds of things, all kinds of symbolism, all kinds of tradition and their knowledge of Scripture. He says, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." That's religious worship. And Jesus would have nothing to do with it. And He called it for what it was. And He didn't try to sugarcoat it. He didn't try to smooth it over. He says, "This is wrong. This doesn't please God. This doesn't please His heart. This means nothing to Him. And if that's the kind of worship that we're going to offer to Him, then we might as well not offer any worship at all. It's not something that pleases Him. Only a heart, our heart, can move the heart of God." To worship only religiously means that we have a form of worship, a form of godliness. We're praying just so. We know the right words to pray. We're doing it without thinking. We know the right religious phrases and the expressions to say. But it doesn't come from here. It doesn't come from a changed heart. It doesn't come from a passionate heart for God. That's worship religiously. It means you're acting like you're worshiping, but it's only acting. It's only acting. We can come here together and worship on Sunday morning. And we can lift our voices up and you can, you know, close your eyes and lift your hands and just belt it out loud. But I want to tell you something. God sees what's going on inside. He knows where the worship is coming from. And that's what He sees. That's what He wants. And I'm not telling you that, you know, if you enjoy the worship and the singing, that, you know, you're not being sincere. That's not it at all. I'm saying be sincere first in here. Be passionate about God first inside. be in tune with Him and His Word and be pursuing Him and adjusting and changing your life to be in accordance with His will and His Word. And then when you come into this place to worship Him and tell Him that you're putting Him first in your life and that He's number one and praise the Lord and Hosanna, then that's coming from a heart of worship. That's coming from a heart of worship because your heart has been being in tune and being molded and being shaped and being changed and being conformed into the image of Christ. And you can offer true worship. True worship. Don't go through the motions of worship when your heart is still far from God. Religion is a work of man to try to impress God. Religious activity is a work of man to try to impress God, and that is a wasted effort. Why is that a wasted effort? You can't impress God. God cannot be impressed by our religious activity. He cannot be impressed. I've heard some people pray these prayers that are so flowery and beautiful and just make your head spin with all the fancy words that are used. But let me ask you a question. Does that impress God? Not unless all that fancy fluff is coming first from a heart of worship. From a heart of worship. When you pray, by the way, I want to encourage you. We talk about prayer. We talk about the importance of prayer. And we say that, you know, prayer is vital and essential in our lives. We believe that God hears prayers and God answers prayers. And so I just want to encourage you, are you praying? Do you spend time in prayer? And when you do spend time in prayer, I want to encourage you to speak to God like He was a close friend. Don't speak to God like you're trying to impress Him with your knowledge. I've heard some people pray like they were preaching sermons to God. Have you heard a sermon prayer? They preach a prayer. God, Your Word says this, and in Your Word You told me this and this, and I want You to know that unless I do this, and they tell God everything He already knows. And we're preaching a message and teaching a lesson to God. Tell God what's on your heart. Tell God what's going on inside. Talk to Him like you would talk to a brother. And your prayer life will become much more intimate and real. Tell God how you're feeling, even if it's not a good thing. God already knows. You can't fake it. You can't hide it from God. If you're having a bad time, if you're struggling with your faith, if you're struggling trusting Him, let Him know, God, I'm struggling with this and I need Your help. I don't know what You're doing here. Would You give me enough faith to get through this? Would You help me get through this situation? Don't always just pray, God, get me out of this problem. God, get me out of this mess. But God, teach me to trust You in this mess. Lead me through this mess. Teach me the things and the character that You're trying to teach me through this mess. Examine your heart. Worship is not a Sunday thing. Worship's a Monday thing, and a Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday. You could take Friday off, but Saturday and Sunday. It's every day of the week. What you do is not worship. What spirit and attitude you have when you do what you do is worship. When I'm out with my wife, can I worship God? When I'm ministering to my wife, loving my wife, enjoying my wife, can I be worshiping God doing that? I believe so. When I'm with my children, and when I'm being a dad to them, and when I am loving them and ministering them and helping them, am I worshiping God and what I'm doing in that way as well? I should be. I should be. There are some times I may not be. But God wants my life to be a life of worship. And He wants that kind of worship to be the kind that is bringing my will, my desires, my actions in line with His. and being made more like Christ on a daily basis. And my prayer each day is, God, help me to know You more today than I did yesterday. God, help me to love You more today than I did yesterday. And if you can get to the end of a day and say, God, I do love You more and I know You better than I did yesterday, that day is a successful day. I don't care how much money you made or lost. If you can say that at the end of a day, that day is a successful day. Next, we can worship God selfishly. Selfishly. Worshiping God only for looks or for personal gain. Interested in physical things only. Selfishly. In other words, we're worshiping God for what we get out of it. We're worshiping God for the things that He's going to do for us and provide for us instead of worshiping Him for who He is and out of thankfulness and gratitude. I've said this before, I've said it many times, but I want to get this attitude in our hearts. And that is, if God never does a single thing extra for you, except the forgiveness and the eternal life that that brings through Jesus Christ, if He never does anything else for you and your life from here on is misery, you're to worship God. You're to praise God. You're to lift a thankful voice for God. Amen? None of you are saying amen to those things, and I don't know why. But if God never does a single thing, if He never blesses you anymore and your life is a struggle, then God is still worthy of our praise. Amen? So our praise and our worship is not based upon, well, God, what are You doing for me now? That is selfish worship. And we get the blessings and all of a sudden we feel like praising God. That's selfish worship. By the way, praise God when you get the blessings. And I want you to know, as God's children and as your Heavenly Father, He does take great, immense pleasure in blessing you. He takes pleasure in that. But He also takes pleasure in watching you mature and not spoiling His kids either. He takes great pleasure in blessing you. And I believe that God loves to lavish His blessings upon His people. Not always the way we think, but He blesses us. But if God never blesses us again, praise Him anyway. Job chapter 13. We're not going to go through Job, but you know the story about Job. A man who had everything and he lost it all. He lost his wealth, his family, except his wife who kept on nagging him. He lost it all. And he says in verse 15 of chapter 13, he makes this statement, though he, what? Slay me, yet will I. Can you say that? That's worship. Do you agree with me that that is worship? That is worship. Can you say that with Job? God, even though You slay me, even though You allow me to go through some worse times, some hard times, some times that I never would have wanted to go through on my own, God, I'm going to trust You. That's a heart of worship. And that's what I want my heart to be like. That's my prayer. God, give me that kind of a heart of worship. Not a selfish heart of worship. How much time do you pray for things and improvements in your welfare instead of improvements in your heart and your attitude and the improvements of others? Selfish worship is what drove a wedge between Satan and God in the beginning. When Satan was created as an angel to worship God, and this selfish worship was what drove that wedge. Selfish worship taught Eve to believe that she was lacking and to think of herself first. To think of herself most. Selfish worship is shown by the amount of time you spend more in front of a mirror, more on clothes, more on fashion, how much time you spend worrying about what others think of you instead of about God and what He thinks about you. Selfish worship. When you're worshiping, you don't have time to worry about these things. When your focus is on God, when your focus is right, you don't have time to mess around with the trivial. Next, we cannot worship God apathetically. Apathetically. That's why I encourage you guys once again. When we have an appointment to worship God, when we have an appointment to worship God, make that appointment, keep it. Be there on time or early, expecting God to meet with us here, expecting something awesome is going to happen. This is time set aside for God. We're going to worship Him. I'm going to get my voice warmed up on the way to church in the morning. Amen. I'm going to give God my very best. I'm going to have my offering ready. Worship God, not apathetically, not with indifference. Be careful throughout the week that we don't worship God apathetically. Like I said in our prayer life, focus and think about the things that you're talking to God about. Be careful when you pray. If you're a sleepy person at night and you can't stay awake, don't try to pray in bed at night. God, I got a few moments left. Forgive me if I nod off to sleep. That's not worship, is it? That's giving God whatever may be left. Maybe a little better is waking up a few extra minutes early, if that's going to help you better. And say, God, I want to take a few moments right now to spend some time with you. Start off your day in prayer. When you open your eyes, say, God, this is the day that you've made. God, help my actions and my thoughts and my words and deeds to be pleasing to you. God, I dedicate this day to you. And draw your focus in worship right to God the very start of the day. Don't worship God apathetically. As a church, I don't want to see us worship God apathetically. I've been to some churches. I've been to lots of churches. You know that. But I've been to some churches where the worship was so apathetic, it drove me crazy. Somebody would come and everybody would be sitting and let's sing page 59 and verse 1, 2, and verse 4. Okay, sit down, shut up. Now we're going to have a word of prayer. Okay, let's pray. Amen. One more song. Okay, let's get into a message now. And the people, there was just apathy evident, showing on the faces. It was just a routine. It was just something that they did because that's what they did. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. Now, I know worship, and especially when it comes to music, is something that everybody has an opinion about. I know that. And you're not going to please everybody all the time. You won't please some people none of the time. You'll please some people all the time, but you won't please everybody all the time. Amen? Did that make sense? I know that. But I want to tell you something. You can still worship God with all your heart, no matter what. You can worship God with all your heart. Give Him your heart. I've been in church settings and in other churches where I don't care for the music that they sing, but I want to tell you something. I'm going to worship God with all my heart anyway. It's not my style. I don't care. I'm going to worship God with all my heart. It's not the songs I like to sing. I don't care. God is looking at my heart, not on what kind of style I'm trying to, enjoy the most. He looks at my heart. What are we giving to God? Are we worshiping apathetically? The opposite of apathy is with life and with energy. With life and energy. Now, I'm not asking you guys to go flopping around on the floor and rolling down the aisles and jumping up and down, singing, but you can worship God with life and with energy every day of the week. Every day of the week. Wouldn't it be fantastic to have victory over apathy? Pursue Christ. And finally, the wrong way to worship is without new birth. Jesus told that woman in John 4, verse 24, He told that woman at the well, He said, God is a spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. In other words, you've got to come to God knowing Him. You got to come to Him in spirit and in truth. And the truth is that outside of Christ, our spirit is dead to God. And we cannot come to Him. We cannot worship Him. Dead to God, He cannot hear our praises. The Bible says that God cannot hear the prayers of sinners because they're dead to Him. Their spirit has been broken. The fellowship is broken. They're not alive unto God. So the very first aspect of being able to worship God is this idea of new birth. Jesus was trying to explain that to a man named Nicodemus when He says, don't be surprised when I tell you, you must be born again. You must have a new birth. To worship God, you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We get the truth from His Word. We get the renewing of the Spirit from Jesus Christ. You cannot worship God. It's impossible to worship God as a condemned sinner. It's impossible. Sin and God don't mix. And by the way, that's why even as believers, when we come into His presence and we try to worship Him, when we have sin in our lives, it's hard to do, isn't it? It's hard to do. Why? You feel like a stinking hypocrite. And there are some times that you need to first spend some time in confession and repentance to God. Not that you're not saved, but that there's sin in your life, and you've allowed sin in your life, and that becomes a hindrance to fellowship. Have you ever fought with your husband or your wife on the way to church one morning? Raise your hand if you ever fought with your husband or wife on the way to church. A few of you. And you get to church. Do you feel like praising God, you know, in front of everybody? You really don't. Why? Because there's something that's blocking that kind of fellowship between you and God. And so I would encourage you, if you fight on the way to church, stop it. Take two cars. If you fight on the way to church and you only have one car, take a moment and say, guys, honey, we're gonna take a moment. We'll finish our discussion later. That's fine. But we need to just stop and ask forgiveness before we go into the house of God and worship. I don't want anything hindering my worship to God. But my question is, do you have this new birth? Are you worshiping God? Or are you trying to watch everybody else around you and how everybody worships God? And okay, that's just what I'll do. I'll do what they do. It's time to pray. Okay, let's pray. It's time to sing. Let's sing. Time to clap. Let's clap. I mean, I teach my little kids this stuff. But listen, you need a relationship with God first. You can't worship God unless you know Him. You have to be born again. In verse 25, the woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When He comes, He will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am He. I who speak to you am He. There's lots of ways to worship God. Most of them are wrong. We must come to God His way, on His terms, with true and genuine worship that comes from knowing Him, walking with Him, allowing Him and His Word to shape our lives, to mold us, to make us more like Him. That's worship. And worship's going to start tomorrow morning. And it's going to go all week at work, at home, when you come together in your small groups. And it's going to continue until next Sunday. And we're going to come back together again here. And we're going to worship God from a heart of worship that's been walking with Him and allowing God to change us throughout the week. That's a heart of worship. That's what I urge you this morning to pray for, to commit yourself to, is that kind of worship. Would you please stand with me? Now, for some of you, I urge you to be listening to the Spirit, to be listening to the Spirit's voice. I don't know what all has been happening in all your lives, but I believe perhaps there's some changes that need to be done. There's some business with God that needs to be done this morning. If you're here today and you realize that you perhaps have been worshiping God religiously or apathetically or ignorantly, and you're sick and tired of that, because it brings emptiness, because you know inside when it's not genuine, when it's not real, it brings an emptiness. I want to encourage you to listen to the Spirit. Listen to God. I'm going to invite you in a moment to come and with a heart of worship, come to God. Confess these things before Him. Turn away from it. Leave it here at the front. Leave it with Him. And leave this place with a renewed sense of what worship is. What worship is not. And you're going to pursue true worship. You're going to pursue God. You're going to pursue Him passionately. You're going to pursue Him through the week. But please, let's stop play worshiping. Let's stop play worshiping. With everybody's head bowed, please, eyes closed, I'm going to ask the question. The last point that we stated was a false way of worship is to worship Him without the new birth, not being born again. You don't have a relationship with God. Your spirit is dead to God. I don't care how much effort you've put into it and how much church going you've done, how much you've looked like you're worshiping God. If you haven't had that rebirth, that new birth, that spiritual birth, you cannot worship God that way. Is there anyone here in this place that would just say, Pastor Ken, I would like you to pray for me. I don't believe that I've had that new birth. I don't believe that I've been born again through Christ. Inside, I know that it's not real, it's not genuine. On the outside, maybe I've been trying to be religious in my worship, but inside I know it's not there. I don't believe I've been born again, that new birth. Is there anyone here who would just slip your hand up and say, that's me, Pastor Ken, pray for me, would you? Anyone here in the room, Pastor Ken, pray for me. I don't believe that I have been born again. Is there anyone in the room? Anyone at all? I don't want to embarrass you, and I'm not going to drag you to the front here. Is there anyone who would say, Pastor Ken, please pray for me? And Christians, I want to ask you a question. What has worship been in your life? What's it been like? Have you had a passion for God that comes from a heart of worship? I want to encourage you today. Take care of this business with God. If He's speaking to your heart. Are there any in this place today that would just say, first of all, I've worshiped God in some way, one of these ways, in the wrong kind of way. Whether it's through apathy or ignorance or wrong ideas, wrong thinking. I worship God in this way. But today I'm praying for God to give me the strength and the power, His power, to worship Him with a heart of worship from henceforth. If that's you, would you quietly slip your hand up and acknowledge that with me this morning? I have been worshiping God in some of the wrong ways, but today I want to repent of that and leave that and worship Him in spirit and truth. Would you slip your hand up? Thank you for your honesty. Keep those hands up. Keep those hands up. Don't let them down. Don't let them down. Anyone else? I want to pray with you right now then. With your hands held up, if that's your prayer, I encourage you to pray with me. Father in heaven, You know my heart more than anyone else can. No one, Lord, can see inside of my heart but You. And Lord, today I confess that there is, in some way, I have been worshiping You wrongly. Lord, I don't want to try to impress You. I don't want to impress anybody else. But I want to worship You from a heart of worship. I want to worship You in spirit and in truth. And I pray that You'll take away any hindrances of fellowship between You and I, any hindrances of worship that I offer You, that, Lord, You would take these things out of my life. And I pray, Lord, that my life would be a life of worship, that, Lord, I would seek to allow You to change my life in accordance with Your will and Your word. And that every day would be an act of worship to You. And Lord, that when I come together with my brothers and sisters in worship, in lifting You up in song and in praises and in prayers, Lord, that it would be an overflow of the worship that has been happening in my life. Thank You, Lord. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.